All right. This is KKFN and KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver.
The 5 o'clock whistle, powered by smart local union 9 sheet metal workers.
We are coming with it, and we are coming for it. It's Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay, and we are The Drive. And we're going to tap into our dude, Cece Lammy, here for a couple minutes. And then I want to have the conversation about, okay, so the NFL draft is 15 days away.
Woo.
Who would be the top 5 picks if we drafted the Broncos roster? If we drafted the Broncos roster, who would be the top 5 picks? And I want to have that exercise because it comes with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
When you start going from 2 to 3 to 4 and then the offshoot questions, I think it's fascinating. Cecil, I want to get into the draft here in just a couple of minutes, but if you were going to draft the Broncos roster off the top of your head, who would be your top 5 picks?
Wow. In terms of like fantasy or I guess I need to follow along with.
Yeah. So if you're like the draft is building a football team, uh-huh, right? If you were going to build a football team and you had 5 picks from the Denver Broncos to like restart the Broncos with. So like
that's on the roster.
That's
right
on the roster
now.
Right now. So like Pat Sertan.
Yeah, Pat Sertan's number 1. Quinn Meinerz is number 2.
Wow.
Honestly, he's probably going to be among the highest paid guards in the league in the near future, maybe even before the start of the regular season. I mean, Meinerz, that guard market is crazy. He's going to be very well paid. That's a George Payton draft pick that worked out in a big way. And I know several teams that made fun of the Broncos for taking the Wisconsin Whitewater product when he came out a few years ago, but obviously a great pickup for the Denver Broncos. So those two first, and then I would lean more towards defense, like a Zach Allen, you know, who's maybe a little bit underrated after last year, maybe a little bit underperforming, but kind of just a, you know, rock solid type of foundation, cornerstone type of guy. We're getting pretty thin, though.
I was going to say, you just picked Zach Allen third overall.
I didn't think about him.
yeah. And most people wouldn't even put him on the list, but I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of stretching here a little bit. I mean, you talk about Cortland Sutton eventually. You would get there for sure.
What about Bolesy?
Yeah. Garrett Bolesy needs to be there. I really hope the Broncos need to extend him. Give him a contract extension, lower that number, and keep him around for a few more years. You need to think about left tackle of the future eventually. Not right now, so long that you could maybe work something out. He's really responded well to Zach Strief. And this is the thing about great coaching. And, you know, Butch Berry was not a great coach at all. And really, Quinn Meinerz honestly lost a year of development, in my opinion. But Zach Strief coming in, maybe the most underrated addition for the Broncos last year. We're all talking about Sean Payton. We're all talking about the new Broncos. Like, Zach Strief and working with that offensive line, they were number 8 in pass block win rate. They were number 3 in run block win rate. They're a good offensive line, a top 10 offensive line, top 5 in run block win rate. So whenever people say, oh, the Broncos O-line sucks, I know they don't watch football with a critical eye, because Broncos offensive line is actually one of the hallmarks of this team.
Well, we'll see, and I got to jump back in here because – so you're going down the road that me and Phil did earlier in the show. When we had this conversation, we did, and we're going to reset it here shortly, but we did Pat Sertan number 1, we did Bowles number 2, and Quinn Meinerz number 3.
Okay.
But here's the thing. The Broncos have already paid Mike McGlinchey. He's got an injury trigger that already kicked in. He's going to be here for years to come.
Yes.
Ben Powers got paid big money for a left guard.
Yes.
Garrett Bowles is an unrestricted free agent next year, and Quinn Meinerz may be getting like $80 to $100 million, and the Broncos may have to make a decision between paying Bowles or paying Meinerz. And if they pay them both, you're looking at the most expensive line in the history of NFL football.
Yeah, and it's going to be Meinerz that gets that nod. If it truly does come down to those two, and if you look at Sean Payton's history with the Saints, we can talk about the offensive fireworks, but I just want to look at the trenches. He always paid guards. He always drafted guards. He always found good interior guys and then got guys on the outside like Ramczyk when he did back in that historic 2017 draft. So if you love interior offensive linemen like Mark Schlereth, well, Sean Payton's your guy because he finds those guys and then he pays those guys. That's why Ben Powers was such a priority last year for this team, and it will be Quinn Meinerz. Meinerz is arguably the most important player to sign, including Pat Sertan. And I know that might be somewhat controversial, but when you build a team the way that Sean Payton builds a team from the inside out, you need those guards, you know, sewed up. You already got Powers on the left. You get you there. Quinn Miners on the right. You're good to go.
Cease, we've been talking about the quarterback position because obviously that's the number one thing we need here in Denver, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
But we have other draft picks. We have other needs. We have other holes to fill. Who are you thinking that's going to come in with the other draft picks other than the first pick of the draft that's going to help us out? Like, what do we need? What do we need for this draft?
The number two need for the Denver Broncos is a playmaking tight end. And anyone that says, Greg Dulcich, fine, he's never healthy, okay? And the physical stuff is so easy to see. Not that I get annoyed with it, but I'm just like, we all know Greg Dulcich can play football. It's not a mystery. It's not like, oh, that guy can't play. No, we know he can play. You just can't trust him. You need to find that playmaking weapon at the tight end position. I really do think this team will move up. I believe that George Payton probably doesn't want to move up and maybe would prefer to move back and get more darts. I believe that Sean Payton, who will win out in this head-to-head battle, will move up for that quarterback. So you're going to have to find a, you know, kind of mid-round tight end with upside. Fortunately, as I write up tight ends for DenverSports.com today, it'll be out tomorrow to get our Denver Sports Daily. Fortunately, there is a cluster of mid-tier tight ends that can make plays. And you may think, well, wait a second, Cease, why not go get your Brock Bowers and get the top tie? Yeah, okay, that's fine, but look at the best tight end in the game. They're all mid-round picks. Mm. So you have mid-round picks. Jared Wiley, I've talked about him enough. Everyone needs to know the name. I will literally like take my shirt off and dance and spin in there like a helicopter.
Oh,
right? I'm bringing it back.
That's
bring
Petey Pablo.
Back CB.
The Petey Pablo.
Petey Pablo.
Exactly. Right. If they get Jared Wiley from TCU, I constantly mistook him for a wide receiver at the Senior Bowl, not because of his frame, but just because of the way he moves. Like, I like the way you move. There's an Andre 3000 for you. But like Jared Wiley, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, Theo Johnson from Penn State. These are all mid-round picks with big-time upside as playmaking pass catchers. If you want to wait late, get Dallin Holker from CSU, probably a seventh-round pick. But this is a draft where that position and the playmaking tight ends, you got your blockers. The blockers are there, okay? You're going to find the blockers. But your playmaking tight ends, like a Jared Wiley later, like a Dallin Holker from CSU, they're there, and this team needs to identify them.
Wiley, 6'7", 260? Whoo, that's what ESPN.com has. Wow. Mm-hmm. 8 touchdowns this past year for the Horned Frogs. I want to ask you, we'll just keep you for a couple more, not too much longer here, but do you think a wide receiver is in play at some point in this draft for the Broncos?
Yeah, and you look, they brought in David White, Western Carolina kid. He was down at the Shrine game. He'll be a late-rounder undrafted guy, but as the guy sitting next to you, I'll tell you, undrafted, you know, your undrafted guys can be first-round players. Now, David White, not as good as Phil, but still, that type of, you know, catch-anything, physical-type freak, and that's really where, if you're looking at the later rounds of the draft, you're not going to get your Ladd McConkey, right? And he's, a Cooper Kupp type, souped-up Brandon Stokley, whatever you're going to talk about McConkey, and we know the top of this draft, the three best players in this draft might be those wide receivers, but there are others, including Jerry Rice's kid, Brandon Rice, probably be a fourth, fifth-round pick. Malik Washington for Virginia, big, fast, physical freak. Maybe not too big, but Malik Washington is a player that was down at the Shrine with David White that I like. Taj Washington from USC was there, kind of a return man there as well. So you've got a bunch of different body types, so it's kind of pick your poison. You want more little guys, you want big guys. Where's Luke McCaffrey kicking around? He'll be very solid in his pro career, probably, you know, fifth, sixth round pick. The Broncos have a lot of options, and I do believe wide receivers should be on that list. It'll just be, you know, your day three. But this is where George Payton needs to save his job. We're literally talking about in 2 weeks we could have the draft, and in 3 weeks George Payton could be hitting Indeed.com, right? And he'll have a job in 30 seconds. He's not going to be out of work very long, but, like, he needs to be great, you know, on the rounds that Sean Payton's probably not as, you know, well-versed on. And those are the, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh rounds, undrafted guys. He needs to hit big time. He's done it before. He really needs to be almost perfect this year. Because, Cody Rager's there, kind of the next GM in waiting if George Payton struggles again.
Now, Cease, you know, you're your guy I can talk about the running back position with because my host right here doesn't like the running backs.
He hates them.
Between him and Josh Dover, just hates the fullbacks, and Josh just hates the running backs. So he wants Arena Football or something. if the Denver Broncos go and draft a running back, what is that speaking to someone like Samaje Perine?
Yeah, I mean, it's saying kind of the reality of the situation is, you know, Perine will be, you know, bounce around the league a little bit, you know, kind of towards the end. I think it says something about Javonte as well. And Jaleel McLaughlin we can all be excited about, but what's the real ceiling there for McLaughlin? It'll be nice to get a quarterback that can get him those screen passes in a cleaner look than Russell Wilson did. So they have talent, but what excites me, fellas, what really excites me is my man Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network and so well, you know, well-versed in this league and this draft class. His favorite running back in this draft is my favorite running back, Marshawn Lloyd, the USC kid. Mm. Big play ability every time he touches the ball. Now, he's got some fumbling concerns, so you got to worry about that. But a couple of these guys with that big play ability have that as well. Jalen Wright from Tennessee, he's not. Alvin Kamara, but Kamara was a third-round pick. Wright's probably going to be a third or fourth-round pick. He's got flip-the-field type of speed. Mm. And this is just something like, okay, Jaleel has it, but it's in a smaller size, you know, and when he gets hit, he loses his feet. The thing is, Phil, and I know last year I was like, this guy's like Phil, he's just like Phil. He's not like Phil. Phil, you kept your feet upon contact. He's like you in that he's intent between the tackles and doesn't shy away from that as a smaller guy, but you kept your feet when you took contact. He does not, and I love Jaleel. Great story, great kid, but he just, you know, woo, just flies away when you hit him. That didn't happen with you. It happens with Jaleel. So you have to look at these other backs, and there's plenty of other backs. And I say always get you a Memphis back. Look at how many Memphis backs have been in this league making plays. Tony Pollard would be the most known from people out there.
Yeah.
But I look at a Blake Watson from Memphis, another Shrine Game guy that looked really good on all three downs, good receiver out of the backfield. These are the type of backs. And again, day three, please, George Payton, if you want to save your job, day three, start getting some of these stud playmakers and get guys with rare traits. You had the rare heart, Phil. That's what made you an outstanding player. You need the guys. Okay, he's really big. He's really fast. He's really physical. He's really great receiver. Like, one thing. Stop drafting these special teams guys. And they're really good on special teams. Like, you don't need that anymore, okay? You need freaks. So on day three, I want freaks like a Braylon Allen. If he falls that far from Wisconsin, I want a Blake Watson from Memphis. Something like that at the running back position to give you more options for what should be and could be a higher-powered offense. Mm.
That is a perfect place to leave it. Cecil, we are just 15 days away.
Woo!
15 days away from the NFL draft, and I know you're going to be joining us more and more, and I just can't wait. This is such a tipping point offseason for the Denver Broncos. They have to get it right here, Cease. Yeah. And we'll continue to lean on your expertise. Thanks for the time today.
It's legacy, boys. It's just legacy. It's awesome. And I'm here for you. Be good, fellas.
All right, there he goes.
Take care, Cease.
The one and the only Cecil Lammy. In terms of the George Payton stuff, it's
has it kind of simmered down a little bit?
Well, you know, I'm hearing C saying, you know, George has got to get it right. George's got to get it right. And I don't know if George can get it right. Because, and I don't mean his inability to pick players. I mean the conversation around George's picks. Like if the Broncos pick a running back in the fourth round who can really play, who's getting credit for that? George?
Yeah, well, any player that's being picked now that ends up doing well, it's going to Sean. It's going to Sean. No matter how much George did or how much work George did to put this in Sean's head, Sean's going to take the credit for it because George has had his time, and we've seen George's picks over the years, and some have hit just like anybody else's GM, and some haven't.
Yeah.
But right now, with George kind of being in the doghouse, and we don't even know if he's going to be here after the draft.
Not sure,
You know, that it's not going to go to George. George is just there at this time.
Yeah, it feels like he is in a in a no-win situation.
Lose-lose situation.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And it's lose-lose because of how it's gone when he was at the controls. And so it's but it does beg the question, like, what is he still doing here? If you don't get any credit for picks that hit, you're going to bear the responsibility of picks that don't. And it's like,
because who else is out there that's better than George? I think that's the question, you know, being asked. You know, they brought in Rager.
Yeah.
But he's new, right?
Yeah, he's new to Denver.
New to Denver.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would just be the person that you put there right now.
I don't know. I mean, Sean said he was the best college evaluator that they had in New Orleans.
in New Orleans. But there's so many people that have said George has been the best college evaluator. You know?
Yeah.
And this is from, like, you know, everybody is different. It's just interesting because it's like, what is George's role? You know, if Sean was here, what's the question? My question is, what is George's role?
Yeah.
He's not the general manager no more. We've talked about it.
And when he was in Minnesota, he was not. So
he
are we assigning
either.
Credit to things that went well in Minnesota to him as Rick Spielman's assistant?
Well, I think that's what we did. I think we all jumped the gun. And I think that instead of kind of doing our homework and understanding that he wasn't a GM, he was behind the GM, but he was helping out.
Yes, yes.
And we all were praising him so much because of what he did over there. But it's like, did he do it or did he was just like in agreement and they both were on the same page and like they both liked the same people. So now it's like, oh, okay, you're getting somebody that knows what he's doing kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole situation with George is just, it's weird. It's murky. I mean, look, I'm saying something that people already know, but if you're the general manager and you're not involved in the interview of the coach that you on paper are hiring,
you're supposed to hire.
That is all you need to know if you were not involved in the interview. So I still go back to my theory of one of the things that Sean Payton said when he got this job. He's like, people like call me a tyrant. That's not true. Like he heard some of the criticism of how he can be and is like, was actively like, I'm not like that. So if you go on the record before the season starts and say people act like I'm sort of some sort of tyrant, can you in the first year in Denver get rid of the quarterback and the general manager?
Yeah, that would have been the best thing for him to do.
I agree.
You know, like it would show like we're flipping a page. We all know that Sean is the general manager, so him getting rid of Russ, him getting rid of George at the same time would kind of let us know, okay, they were a package together, and they're both gone. But him getting rid of Russ, but keeping George, it's like, what are you doing?
I know.
What's going on there?
It's such a strange setup.
It's confusing. It's sick.
And I believe a part of this theory.
Sick fantasy.
it ain't a fantasy. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Except I don't know how your fantasies are, so I don't want to. I'll speak for myself. But with this theory, I believe that because it was Sean Payton's first year in Denver, he was not going to go to ownership, ask for the biggest Christmas gift of all time, and that was having Greg Penner pay Russell Wilson to go play somewhere else under a contract that hasn't even started yet, and then also ask to move on from the general manager. I believe that it was just, it's like, just from a human standpoint,
Okay, Zach, but think of it like this, right? You're the head man, right? You're the boss. You have all the money, and I come to you and say, hey.
And I'm Greg?
You're Greg.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey.
Life is good. Life is good.
Yeah, I heard you're mountain biking and Armstrong runs and things like that, race runs and everything.
He like climbs mountains and all that. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Life is good.
Life is good.
But and I say, hey, there's two people on our roster right now that are not good for this organization, Russ and George. You would want to get rid of both of them then, right? They're both kind of hand in hand. Why is it like, okay, there's two people sitting here that aren't good for the organization, but we're gonna get rid of one and we're just gonna have one just hang around. We're gonna just have one bad apple just hanging around. And I'm not saying George is a bad guy. I'm just saying, like, they're a package deal.
Yeah.
You got rid of one problem, but you still didn't get rid of this one that's just sitting here. And he's collecting a check, but he's not really in charge anymore.
Right.
So then why is he here?
Phil.
Like, what would you do? Would you still keep him around for a sick fantasy? Because I know you're into that.
I think it's just a waiting game. I think they're just putting a year in between. George Payton's a general manager this time next year. I'm not sure he's a general manager at the start of the season.
I don't think he's going to be. If I'm George and I have no value here, all right, none of the money in the world will want me to just stay here and be a puppet.
Yeah.
Because the first thing that's going to happen is I'm still going to get fired.
Right.
Especially if we don't do well.
Right.
You know, I'm just sitting here and lingering around for an excuse. And it's like, man, I know I can get a job no matter where I go.
Yeah.
Why not just start somewhere fresh and get done with this?
Let me ask you a question, totally separate from this. Just random human question.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Greg Penner is 54 years old.
Yeah, he's only 54, huh?
Would you trade your life for his?
Greg Penner, 54 years old.
Yep. And you get to slide into Greg Penner's life, but you're 54 and you have all the money that he does. Would you do it?
No.
Why?
Because all the money in the world is still not going to stop you from what you know God has for you later on in your life. You don't know if he's happy. You don't know if he's sad. You don't know what he's going through. You know he has all this money. And I tell you right now, more money, more problems. That's real. And the thing is, it's like after just having the money, now what? I'd rather, and he might be happy. I don't know him.
I'm just saying, for myself, I'd rather
be broken happy with my family going home to my son and soon to be little one, little daughter, and be happy and enjoying them than to be somewhere where I have a lot of money, a lot of problems, and I can't trust anybody. I can't trust anybody because I don't know who is in my corner and who is not. Just because I have all this money doesn't make me, you know, a better person.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would not change anything I'm doing.
Yeah. I like it. Kamaje, how old are you?
I am 26.
You're 26.
Yep.
If you had the chance to trade lives with Greg Penner, who's 54 and worth $80 billion, would you do it?
No. He's not called to walk in my shoes. I'm not called to walk in his. It's a reason that he has earned the lane that he's walked in up to this point. He's done a great job managing it. If I were to step into his shoes, there's no promise I would be able to maintain those relationships, those connections, be able to keep that money going and flowing the way that he does. He thinks in a way that I don't think I ever could when it comes to operating billions of dollars. So coming from that perspective, I'd rather just stay where I am because there's like beauty in the fact that you know that eventually everything will be all right instead of being able to say, man, I haven't really had to do much to get where I am today.
Mm. J. Cole's got a beauty in the struggle. You know what I'm talking about? Drew, would you change lives with Greg Penner if you had the chance? He's 54, worth $80 billion.
In a heartbeat. I want that $80 billion. Are you kidding me?
And you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you'll exchange the time.
Yeah.
Because you're about 40.
I'm 43.
43.
So, yeah. Do you get to keep your kids?
So,
or you just have his life?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking about is, like, would you trade lives with a billionaire that is 20 and Drew's a little bit older than, say, you, Phil,
yeah,
but you'd be exchanging, you know, 25 years on Earth for the money?
No, I'm not trying to have this erectile dysfunction thing going on where I have to talk about it.
Well, if you go visit our friends at the Rocky Mountain Men's Clinic. All right. They'll take you. They take care of you. All right.
I don't want to be 54 yet.
But it's like, would you trade the time for the money? And I think most people, if you pressed them, would not.
Ooh.
Because the time
is precious.
On Earth is a little bit more precious than the money. Even if you're fat now, if you're a little bit older, then maybe it's easier if you're as old as Greg Penner. But if you're 29, would you sacrifice the time for the money?
Well, we should ask. We should ask some of our listeners, see what they would do.
Sure. RamosLaw.com, text line 303-713-1043. Drafting the top five Broncos from this roster. What does that look like? And what questions come up when we do the exercise? That's coming up next. Oh, my gosh. The amount of response that we got on the RamosLaw.com text line when I just asked a question with like a minute left in the segment. We were talking about Greg Penner, George Payton or whatever. And I said, hey, just real quick, random question. Would you trade lives with Greg Penner, who's worth $80 billion, but is 54 years old? And it was unique to you because you're 29.
Yeah.
And it's like, would you trade 25 years
but do you
for
get to
the
keep
wealth?
Your family? You never said, do you get to still keep your family or your life becomes Penner's life, and whatever Penner's doing, that's your life.
Yeah, I honestly thought of the question randomly when in real time, so I didn't think of that. Are you starting to reconsider if you could bring your family? Okay,
no,
how about
no,
this?
No,
how
I'm
about this? How about this?
Anything.
How about this? Yes, you can bring your family, but Phil is now 28 instead of 3 because you traded the 25 years.
I can't do that. By that time, he'll be whooping my butt.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that right now.
But it's funny, so we asked around here, and you said absolutely not. KJ said absolutely not. Drew said absolutely. Richie said absolutely. And Richie's reasoning, and I'm sorry, we don't have enough time to do the draft. I'm sorry. This just got hijacked. Richie, go ahead and explain your reasoning and what, because you're 30.
Richie is sick.
You're 30, and you said Richie you would sick. Trade lives with Greg Penner, so you would trade the youth for the wealth.
I wouldn't even think about it. It would be automatic. And my thought process behind it was, I'm stepping into the body of somebody who's worth, would you say, $80 billion?
Yeah, $80
billion. And he's 54. Okay, so we can just ballpark and say he's 25 years older than me, roughly.
Yeah.
I'm already, and I said my time's not worth that much. It's not. My time is not worth giving up $80 billion because I'm already going to work for the next 25 years and do those things, and it's not even going to scratch a milli.
But what about the life experiences?
With $80 billion, I am in anybody below Jeff Bezos. I'm in that category. With $80 billion, I can make up for lost time and do things that I didn't get to do.
You'll never be able to make up from lost time. No money in the world will give you back time.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm going to call you from Mars, and then we'll talk about it.
What are you going to do on Mars? What are you going to do on Mars? Yeah. I'll be running away from a Martian.
You're not going to do anything on Mars. I am.
You're right. Okay? I'm going to be sipping Mai Tais with my wife. Yeah. Watching my son grow up.
Yeah, yeah. No, like I said,
at this radio station with Zach.
You are married. You've got kids. And you choosing not to do it is going to, you're at the end of all this going to end up with a very happy, fulfilled, satisfying life. I have none of those things. Therefore, I'm willing to roll the dice and see if it comes up seven. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
all right. I like it. Fun topic. It's relative to age.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's someone on the text line. Hey, I'll take the 80 million, it's billion, bud, Jeff in Denver. He said, I'll take the 80 million and be 54. I turn 53 in 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah. If you're like that, someone else said, I'd trade lives in a second. I'm 73. That's Jack in Superior. Thank you, Jack.
But he's taking it because he's getting $1 billion and he's getting some youth back.
Yeah, he's winning in that scenario if you were to trade lives. Yeah, yeah. But it just depends, hey, someone says, hey, I live paycheck to paycheck. I'd swap lives in a heartbeat. And that's, look, everyone is different.
Sure.
And that's why I wanted to ask you the question. And we got the differences right here with the, you know, 5-6 of us in this building.
You still haven't answered. Answer carefully now. I know your wife's listening.
There is 0% chance I would do it.
Oh,
0% chance. 0% chance.
All right, Zach.
Dead ass serious.
Yeah.
And you want to know why? It's like, what would you trade for your NFL experience when you got to go be a gladiator for 5 years, play for your hometown team? Would you wipe your memory of that? Okay, here we go down another rabbit hole.
No, that's fine.
Would you wipe your memory of that with the Men in Black neuralizer thing?
Yeah.
Would you wipe your memory of all those memories for $50 million?
No, I'm not going to wipe that. I'm not going to wipe it.
Because life's too short. You lived a dream.
It is.
Dude.
Now, if they said, hey, you can wipe your memory of football and this is going to and it's gonna help your kids out and they're dealing with something, I'm wiping it out in a heartbeat if it's dealing with something.
Yes,
know?
Yes, yes. But that's not what I... This is just in general. Wipe away your best memories as a football player.
No.
No, because that's what makes life. You got to live a dream.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get a little sappy, but this is my NFL.
Yeah.
I busted my ass for 10 years in Albany, New York to get a job like this. This is on the El Patio. People talking about how you're a big part of my day. Like, there's no amount of money, and I know Greg has an amazing life, and I'm sure he's happy as a clam, but absolutely not. And I understand how people can disagree with this because I'm looking at the RamosLaw.com text line. So many people said, "Yeah, I'll do it in a second. I'll do it in a second." But it's a question, especially if you line up age wise. It's time versus money, and what would you be willing to trade off, you know, at what point?
Money, man. Money's the root of all evils, man.
I think, Richie, do you have a counter offer for Phil?
Yeah, this is like deal or no deal, like the banker's calling in.
No deal, Richie. Yes.
So you turned down $50 million from Zach because what's in your case is better, cherishing memories and all that. Against your
See how he tried to minimize you?
Yeah.
He tried to minimize your football career. That was unbelievable. Go ahead, Richard.
I was a Philip Lindsay supporter when he was in the XFL, not just even the Broncos.
Go Sea Dragon, son.
That's right. So against your advice, I did Freaky Friday with Greg Penner, and I'm now worth $80 billion. If I gave you $10 billion to go back in time from before you got to the NFL and all that.
He gets no Denver South Shine either.
Okay. So I'm going back to high school you. Think about how you were when you were 14, 15 years old.
Oh, you don't want to go back there.
Yes. Yeah. The new Greg Penner, came up to you at 15 years old.
You would be like, man, this was crazy.
And was like, I'll give you $10 billion, but you can never play football again. You wouldn't do it?
No.
Oh, bro.
No.
Dude, football made you so happy.
Yeah. That's all I knew.
Maybe I've just never been happy. Maybe that's what it is.
After you get a house, after you get the cars, after you have the kids, right? If you have all the stuff to take care of your kids, you get to do a little something, right? We talked about this on the ride. Like, you still get to do a little something. Like, what else are you going to do with this money other than give it to your kids? Because you can't take it with you wherever you're going.
Nope. They bury
you
just
the same. Hopefully it's somewhere good. Hopefully you're doing good. And so, yeah, you're not going to bury it with you. So then what more? What more do I want other than to be able to sit in my house, okay, sip some water, you know what I mean, and watch my kids grow up? I'm good with it.
Someone on the text line says Greg Penner's going to be pretty disappointed when he finds out he swapped lives with me. Oh, gosh. All right. Fun conversation, random conversation. It is a busy night in Denver sports. What are we watching for? That's coming up next.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5.
Not two, not three, not four.
Presented by High Five Plumbing. Here's Zach and Phil.
Oh, my gosh. The conversation from 2 segments ago is still happening all through the break here at the Fan, and the text line is just jumping. It's just jumping. And the array of responses is hilarious. I have to ask Will his answer to the question. Then we'll do the top five, what we were looking for in a really busy night in Denver sports. What was a random question, took on a life of its own. Have to ask you, how old are you?
33.
Okay, you're 33. Would you exchange the next 21 years of life, hand in your youth, fast forward to 54, but you live the life of Greg Penner?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat. You guys are crazy, man. I get it. You have kids, you have wives, you love everyone. It's all so happy slappy. Do you know how much you can do with $80 billion?
What a disrespectful. You
know what? Disrespectful little.
I mean, dude, like, but, and yes, we know what you could do with $80 billion. That's.
You're a Richie. You're a Richie. Just go off. Go off to the moon. To Mars.
Yeah.
To Jupiter.
I want to re-ask Drew. Because, Drew, you're 43. And you have a 4-year-old.
Yep.
So, in this scenario, you fast forward 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
You miss Harper's life from 4 to...
15. Yeah.
Are you still on board?
Yeah, I'm still on board.
God,
I got $80 billion. We can go do a lot of
that
really fun stuff and make a lot of awesome memories, man.
That is sick, bro.
Yeah,
I'm
doing it.
You're going to have to. You done lost 11 years. Oh, you don't even know your kid's name anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
So, you would exchange it.
I mean, with your titanium heart, you could live till you're 120.
But do you want to?
With $80 billion? Yeah.
You live because you want to love, but if you can't love anymore, there ain't no reason to live.
What would be the lifestyle of Will Peterson with $80 billion? Not saying it on 104.3 The Fan. All right, it's a busy night in Denver sports. What are we looking for? This evening? I mean, the Rockies are in action. The Nuggets are in action in a place where they just, it's a house of horrors. 1-14 in the last 15 games in Salt Lake City. You have the Avs back in action. Georgie's in between the pipes. All the conversation and noise around that. Phil, we'll start with you.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
I'm going to be sitting there with my family, my wife, my son.
Oh, lay it on.
Remember, my wife's belly, way far daughter.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to be watching the Colorado Avalanche tonight because I want to see what Georgiev does.
Yeah.
I want to see what the defense does. They need to help Georgiev out. The defense needs to help Georgiev out. But also, Georgie needs to put on the show. He needs to stand on his head, all right, because he had that issue where he got thrown out the game with the puck, throwing the puck into the fans.
Yep.
All right, then I thought he was going to have a comeback. Didn't do well.
No,
he didn't do bad, but he didn't do well versus Dallas.
Yeah.
And so now it's like, yo, you are number one goalie. We're going to need you in the playoffs. You have to show out. So show out tonight on a team that you guys should win.
All right, I like it. I like it. I don't think he can struggle badly again here tonight, or this noise is only going to grow. Even though Jared Bednar said he played great the other night, mm-hmm. which was interesting because they gave up like six. Kind of sounded like Brian Windhorst talking about the Lakers getting swept. Like, they were great, though. They were great.
That was the best team that ever got swept in life.
Drew Spivak behind the glass. What are you looking for tonight?
I, too, will be watching the Avalanche, but I'm going to be watching Jonathan Drouin going for a career high.
Yeah, he's been hot.
He's having a fantastic year. Unfortunately, may have priced himself out of coming back to Colorado next year, but whatever. We're worried about the here and now. So I'm going to be watching Jonathan Drouin to see if he can break his career high in goals. With points, and also have a second screen on the Winnipeg Jets, Nashville Predators. Looking like a first-round matchup. I want to see if we can have home ice advantage in the first round.
Drouin had a slower start to the year.
He did, yeah.
And he has just come on in a way that we had hoped. Yep. You know, him and Nathan MacKinnon, right, their youth playing together. It was like Halifax.
Yeah.
For the Halifax Mooseheads.
Halifax Mooseheads, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's got 19 points his last 15 games.
Oh, wow. That's blistering for him.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. Kamaje, what are you looking for tonight?
All right, I'll save the best for last. So I'm going to roll with Kings Thunder tonight. We need the Kings to help us out because the Thunder are one game behind the Nuggets. And if they can help us start to put the Thunder out of consideration for that one seed, that'll start to take the pressure off of Denver. Denver wins tonight. They win tomorrow against Minnesota. If the Thunder can lose tonight, it'll take Denver to a whole different place going into their last two games after this back-to-back.
I like it, KJ. Will Peterson, DenverSports.com, great friend of the show. What are you looking for tonight?
Well, it's the Nuggets and Jazz. You mentioned it. Michael Malone is 1-14 in Utah in his career. He joked yesterday it was because of the altitude. Got a hearty media laugh. Ah, good one, coach. Because get it, guys? He plays it out. Oh, get it. But in all seriousness, the only time they've beaten the Jazz, do you remember the iconic photo they took?
Oh, it's the Magnificent Seven game, right?
It was the seven dudes because they had just traded everyone. I think it was Malik Beasley and Wancho and all those guys. Yeah. They had just shipped them out of town. That's the only time when you only could choose from seven dudes to play. At some point, it becomes a mental block. And let me tell you, fellas, if they lose to Utah tonight, Minnesota's not losing to the Wizards. That game tomorrow night means not nearly as much. People keep saying, oh, Wednesday night's for the one seed. Not if you lose to the Jazz tonight, it's not.
I went so far to say to Phil, if they lose tonight, I don't want to see anyone play tomorrow on the second night of a back-to-back. It means nothing. You could go 4-0, get the one seed. If that gets disrupted, start load managing, guys, because the playoffs start here in 11 days. 11 days. So we'll see what it looks like tonight. Jamal returning. That's where my eyes will go. Not returning because he came back on Saturday, played 21 minutes. But he's looking like he's going to play in a back-to-back. That makes me a little nervous. Can KCP keep this hot shooting going?
Yes, yes.
That's a fun little storyline. But I'll go because you guys covered all that. I'll go to the Rockies. Can the Rockies win back-to-back games? That will kind of feel like a 5-6 game winning streak. That'll feel like a 5-6 game winning streak, and I'll have a better opportunity to cash out of a miserable bet that I made on their season over before the season started. So,
can the Rockies sell 5,000 signature souvenir helmets with ice cream in them? They only got 18,000.
I was
going to
say second lowest attendance in 10 years for a non-pandemic game. Let's keep our eye on that storyline. By the way, who you work with tonight?
Marcello Romano.
All right, one of our favorite tag teams, Denver Sports Tonight with Will Peterson and Marcello. Coming up next.